This 14th chapter of the book of Acts this evening is a special chapter. It's a chapter that shows the suffering of the Apostle Paul. And it gives us an account and a historical account of the things that he did as he preached the Word of God and some of the things that he encountered. He would recount or tell us again about these things over in the book of Corinthians, and he named these experiences among his medals or his trophies when he talked about being stoned, when he talked about being beaten with rods. You remember that passage where he said, I spent a night and a day in the deep. I've been in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the robbers, in perils of the sword, in perils of hunger, and so forth. He lists his medals, his trophies. This chapter is one of the chapters of it that records the experiences that Paul counts as trophies for him in his life that he lived for the Lord. The verses leading up to our text, which we'll read tonight in verses 19 through 22 here in just a moment, but the verses leading up to our text tell us some interesting and foundational facts that help us to see our text verses in an appropriate light. In verse number 1, Paul and Barnabas preach in Iconium, and a multitude of people there believe. Now, that's a remarkable way to begin a chapter like this, because we're about to study an entire chapter about the suffering of Paul and Barnabas. We're living in a generation of young preachers that seem to think if they'll just preach that everybody will pat them on the back, and everybody's going to love them, and everybody's going to brag on them, and they're going to get paid real good. And I'm going to tell you, ain't none of them things true. Amen. And it never has been, nor is it supposed to always be. Now, we are to honor the man of God. We're to give him double honor, the Bible says. We're not to muzzle out the ox that treadeth out the corn. We're to take care of the man of God. But the preacher man should never be of the mindset that he either deserves or should expect any sort of glory in his life. We are servants of the Lord. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not doing what I do for attention, and I'm not doing it for glory. I've preached in the prison houses. I've preached my friend in the barber shops. I've preached around campfire, and some of you've been with me. Some of the churches that I've preached in, that some of you've been with me, I've been better off preaching in a barber shop. Say amen right there. I mean, there's some hole in the wall places where nobody wanted to go. I've preached on foreign soil. I've preached to people of all sorts of colors and creeds and backgrounds. I've preached in a McDonald's parking lot. I've preached to my friend in the Hardee's in the middle of the store. I've been asked to leave the Hardee's in the middle of the store preaching. I mean, friend, I'm not in it for the glory or the praise of men, and I haven't got to have a pulpit or a paycheck or a pat on the back to do it. And the men of God that's been called of God, they don't need those things. But it's amazing how many have come to expect those things. Preaching is not about being the Lord over God's heritage. It's about being a servant unto God's people. Amen. And the Apostle Paul preached, and a multitude of people believed in the city of Iconium. And then both Jews and Gentiles, in verse number 2, both Jews and Gentiles got stirred up about it. And now, by the way, friend, if you do preach, and if God really does move both open sinners and religious people, we'll get stirred up about it. Amen. It upsets the balance of modern religion to really preach the undefiled gospel of Christ. It upsets the balance of modern society if you really preach what's true and right. And then both Jew and Gentile got stirred up. Then in verse number 3, though people were stirred up, though some believed, though some were mad, though some was glad, Paul and Barnabas, you know what they did? They just kept on preaching. How all of the consternation and worry, frustration and anger, all of the attacks that comes against us from every side, they ought not to shut us down or shut us up, but we ought to continue on steady. The praise of men ought not to keep us going. And my friend, the criticism of men ought not to shut us down. I mean, we serve God because we're serving God. And those that can only preach when they're getting an amen ain't got a whole lot of preaching in them. When they're not getting an amen, say amen, that's right. I mean, friend, hey, you don't have to have the assent or the agreement of men or society. If everybody likes it, loves it, jumps it, croaks, pukes, or dies, just preach on and tell the truth. Stay with the stuff. If everybody goes with you, then go. If nobody goes, then go. I mean, trust God. Live for God. Don't wait for the approval of man. Don't wait for the stamp of society to be put on what you're doing. Because if you're serving God, you're not going to get the stamp of society's approval. Amen. Even your family's not going to always go with you. Even the church is not always going to approve. Even the brethren sometimes won't understand that you say where God is. You serve God. Somebody got a bright new revelation. Have some kind, some direction, some new pasture. You let them go eat by yourself. Stay with the house of God. Stay with the people of God. Stay with the church of God. Stay with the man of God. Serve God. If everybody, anybody, or nobody likes it, you stay with God. And so they preached and they spake boldly. Somebody said, I don't like that bold preaching. Well, you wouldn't like Paul and Barnabas. And my friend, they spake boldly in verse 3. And you know how long they did it? They did it a long time. Don't like that long preaching? You wouldn't like Paul and Barnabas. Amen. Paul's a long-winded friend. He preached all night one night. And the older fellow said to Eutychus, a fellow named Eutychus was sitting over there in the window. He went to sleep, fell out the window from the third story, and it killed him, right? I mean, flat. It killed him when he hit the ground. Paul went down and grabbed him up, and the Lord put his life back in him. Amen. And Paul got so excited about it, he went and sat down and ate breakfast, or ate with them, and sat around the table and talked all night long, and left there in the morning. Amen. You talk about long-winded preaching. Been scared to go to sleep on him anymore, too, wouldn't you? I'd certainly been afraid to sit in the window if I was getting a little bit red-eyed. But my friend Paul and Barnabas spake boldly a long time, and signs followed them. Now, these signs were for the Jews. How was Jesus called an evil generation? He said, an evil generation seeketh after a sign. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, friend, we're to believe the gospel on the merits. God doesn't have anything to prove to you or to me. Amen. That's right. And if the Lord ever, my friend, does some fanciful worldly gig or perform some trick or something, some sign, my friend, for you, or he does it, he's still God. We're in a season now, I tell you, listen, there's some churches tonight that'll have trunk or treat or trick or treat or whatever sort of my friend, ungodly thing that they want to call it. Instead of having church tonight, and they'll celebrate the devil and celebrate sin and call it an activity of God in the church. And it ain't no different. The children of Israel worse than a golden calf in the wilderness, and Aaron saying it's a celebration of the Lord. Amen. That's right. And while they're having trick or treat, I'm trying, my friend, to talk about potions and witches and ghosts and goblins and ghouls. You stay with God and believe Him on the facts of the gospel. I trust Him on the basis of God's Word. And if you ever see a miracle or you don't, you let God work a miracle in your heart and trust Him to take care of you and quit looking for signs and wonders. The evil generation seeketh after a sign. All the same, the Lord was gracious and did send them a sign. And He did give greater blessing and power on the men of Paul and Barnabas. Now, I'm going to tell you, it is the grace of God that the Lord does send us the signs and that He does send the power down. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for it. Though it should not require a sign, I'm thankful for the things that God has done in my life to confirm again and again and again and again that He is God, and besides Him there is not another. I'm glad He does it. He doesn't owe it to me, Brother Scott. He doesn't have to do those things, but I'm glad He does things from time to time to show me that He's God, and I praise Him for that. And in verses 4 and 5, then, and my friend, they sought to kill the men of God by stoning them. Are you seeing the extremes that's taking place? Some falling in love with God, some falling in love with the gospel, some falling in love with the man of God, some hating God, hating the gospel, hating the man of God. I'll tell you, the gospel will divide the congregation. It'll separate the wheat from the chaff. It'll separate, my friend, the sheep from the goats. It'll separate the lost from the saints. It'll separate the spirit filled from the devil filled. I'm telling you, the gospel will tell us who we are. Somebody said, I don't aim to take sides. Well, you'll be settled on one side or another when this thing's all said and done. That's exactly right, friend. Amen. And they sought to kill the men of God by stoning them. But in verses 6 and 7, Paul and Barnabas left town. All of that happens in the city of Iconium. And they left town and they kept on preaching. Oh, God, give us some men that'll keep on preaching. In verses 8 through 10, I'm going to skip this a little bit, but there's a lame man that's healed. What a wonderful thing that God did at the hands of Paul and Barnabas. But then in verses 11 through 13, many thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods. They said the gods have come down among us. And they gave names of their gods and to Paul and to Barnabas. And they started to offer sacrifice unto them in worship. But in verse 11 through 13, or rather in verses 14 through 18, Paul restrains the people and he gives glory unto God and he begs them not to do such a thing, and he deflects every bit of praise and credit from himself unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you one way you know whether or not a fellow's a real man of God: if he always wants to bask in your praise, if he wants to bask in your glory, if he always got to have a pat on the back, he's going to break his own arm off just to pat himself on the back. I mean, them kind of fellows, they're not full of God. They're full of themselves. Amen. And Paul said, don't do this. We don't deserve credit. It's the Lord that's done these things. Give God glory. It's God that feeds us. It's God that sustains us. It's God that's done these works in us. Anything's wrought by our hands, it's the Lord that's done these things. Give Him the glory. Give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. And any real man of God will point you to honor and to glorify the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, any real Christian will do the same. I sure would hate to go to some church named Powers Chapel. I don't know about you. It bothered me. I mean, that'd tear me up. Somebody said, I want that church be named after me for generations to come. I don't want my name on nothing when I'm out of here. Amen. While I'm here, I want my name there because the Lord put me here as pastor. I don't want to be identified with this church, but when I'm gone, I want my name off of everything. I mean, I don't want nothing to be erected as if it were some sort of idol or some sort of shrine to me. I'm not anything but the servant of the Lord. And while you're here, you ought not to want anything erected to you or some sort of legacy set aside for you down to church like you were something special. I tell you, it's just a blessing of God that we're here. Had it not been for the mercy of the Lord, Billy Mitchell said, we'd all be stealing cows and cars before morning, and that's about right. But I'm glad the Lord's been merciful to put us in this place, and I'm saved by His grace, and I'm forgiven by His mercy, and I'm headed to heaven by His love. And it's not of good that I have time. It's because the blood of His dear Son. And I praise Him for that. Give God the glory for the miracles. And give God the glory for the truths we preach. That's what Paul told him to do. And that's where he closes out in verse 18 and goes into our text. If you found your place, stand with us and let's read the Word of God together. I'm just trying to set you up for where I want to preach tonight. Hadn't really done no preaching yet, just trying to set you up. Verse number 19, the Word of the Lord says, and there came thither certain Jews. Notice where they came from. From Antioch and Iconium. That's where he had all the trouble at in verse 1. Was back there in Iconium. That's also where all them folks got saved, was in Iconium back there. Did you know sometimes the place where God will move the most is the place where you got the most trouble? Amen. I mean, sometimes in the middle of all trouble, God's doing something in spite of it. Amen. Hey, the Lord hadn't got to wait till there's no resistance to work. He can just plow the resistance under and work anyway. Amen. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel of that city, every time they beat him up, every time they try to kill him, every time they attack him, every time they tell him to be quiet, you know what he does? He gets up, he moves on, and he keeps preaching. Amen. Woo! Oh, what a lesson unto us. And when he had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You can be seated. Thank you for studying with us while we read the word of the Lord. I notice it was at Iconium where they threatened to stone him in verse 1. It was at Iconium where the men from Iconium and Antioch that did stone him in verse 19. And yet when Paul arose up and started preaching and he went to Derbe and preached, when he got there, about the time his bruises healed, about the time the scrapes in his body started to heal, you know where he went right back to? Right back to Iconium and to Antioch. The places where he knew them fellows were. That drug him out of town and left him for dead. I'm thankful the man of God was not scared. Amen. And while he was there, you know what he told that crowd? They saw him now while he'd been beaten up. They saw him where the rocks had beaten his head. They saw him in such bad shape that folks thought that he was dead. And my friend, now they were seeing him and he was still preaching. And you know what he told that crowd? Don't be scared. I continue in the faith. If they throw rocks at you, preach on. If they get mad, serve God anyway. If folks don't like you, folks talk evil about you, if people don't approve of you serving the Lord, you serve God anyway. Continue in the faith. I wonder, friend, it wouldn't take just about a spoonful of all that Paul got a bucket full of. It wouldn't take but about a spoonful of all that to shut most of us down. I mean to shut us up, to close us down, to close our mouths, to make us give up and go home and twiddle our thumbs and feel sorry for ourselves. Amen. That's exactly right. But Paul said, continue in the faith. And then, friend, I want to say the reason he was exhorting them was because he said that we must, not just me he's talking about, but all of us, we must have through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm trying to preach on tonight. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. This world serving God is not going to be roses and peachy, my friend, all the time. Serving God oftentimes will bring suffering. It'll bring sorrow. It'll bring tribulation. There are no Christians without a cross. Every genuine child of the Heavenly Father walks a trail through trials on their way from their earthly Father's house to our Heavenly Father's house. As we walk that narrow way, we are indeed blessed, but we're also stressed from time to time. Our lives will involve tribulation. Our lives will involve testing. Our lives will involve pressures of life. We'll be under the press. We'll be under strain. We'll face persecution. And Jesus promised that it would be so. And it will happen unto us. I see bumper stickers all over Atlanta, Georgia saying, too blessed to be stressed. That sounds real good. Those are nice platitudes that are spewed out of the mouths of my friend of the name and claim it evangelist and my friend money grubbing pastors and bishops all over Atlanta. At what time they're not trying to get your money, they're trying to get after your wife or your daughters and some of them even after your sons. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. And they'll ride down the road with your money in their pocket while your youngins go to hell and they don't even have a burden in the heart about it. Amen. And my friend, they're not right with God. They're hirelings. And they're not men of God. They're not shepherds. They are thieves come to kill and to
steal and to destroy. And the teaching that we're too blessed to be stressed. I got news for you. I'm as blessed as what they get. But there's no such thing as being too blessed to be stressed. I would say I'm blessed, but I'm still stressed. I'd say I'm stressed, but I'm still blessed. My friend, amen. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'll tell you, friend, there's a cross to bear. There are troubles to face. There's a burden to carry. And it is exactly what Jesus told us it'd be.
Amen.
And Jesus saved you. He didn't promise you you'd never have any trouble. He just promised you you'd never have any trouble by yourself. Amen. He didn't promise you you'd never go through a valley. He just promised you that though you'd be in the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thyself, they comfort me. He didn't promise you you'd never have any problems. He didn't promise you you'd never have any stress. Matter of fact, he promised you that you would have problems, that you would have stress, that you would suffer persecution. He guaranteed that to you. And he said, if you're going to serve me, you know what you got to do? Quit complaining about it. Take up your cross. Volunteer for whatever sort of sacrifice is necessary. Take up your cross. Be willing to sacrifice yourself, your flesh, your ambitions, your desires, your imagination, your wants. Be willing to sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow me. And so Paul said, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You want to live for God? You may have to face things you could not have imagined. But I tell you, my friend, it'll be worth it all when we see His face.
Amen.
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 Oh yeah, sometimes we're stressed, but that don't mean I ain't blessed. Amen. Hey, Jacob had to get his leg broke before he could get blessed. That's right, friend. Peter had to deny the Lord 3 times and weep bitterly before he could be filled with the Holy Ghost and preach the gospel sermon on Pentecost. Paul had to be nearly struck blind before he could see the glory of God. I'll tell you something, friend. There is no telling what kind of thorn the Lord will have to put into your life to make you what God wants you to be. But He's not killing you. He's blessing you.
Amen.
To the chronic complainers, I ask, what did you expect? What is it about a cross you don't understand? I mean, by the cross we are blessed, and by the cross we are stressed.
That's right.
The same cross that gave us life is the same cross that demands our lives be given unto Him. Are you listening to me? Jesus is interested in you giving your life for Him. He gave His life for you already. By the same cross that we're blessed, the same cross, we are stressed by that same cross. Jesus did not Jesus fall under the weight of the cross? Was it not so heavy that He collapsed up under the weight of it? What makes you think that life is always going to be like a feather and you're going to go through this thing unscathed? Yes, there's a cross to bear. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me, and I'll bear my cross, and I'll love that cross, and I'll cling to that cross until one day I lay it down, and I'll trade the old cross for a crown. I tell you, friend, there is a cross to bear. If you'll follow Jesus, you won't have to carry Jesus' cross. He's already carried that. If you'll be my disciple, he must bear his cross, he said. That is, you must bear your own and follow Jesus. Your experience will be different than mine. You may have a heavier burden to bear, but we don't have an inadequate Savior for any of our burdens. He'll help you bear it.
Amen.
no temptation taken you but that which is common unto man. But that with every temptation God is faithful. Him that with every temptation he hath made a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He hadn't sent you a way of escape so you'd get out of it, but a way of escape to bear it. He'll help you when you're crumbling. He'll help you when you're stumbling. Amen. He'll help you when you just can't make it any farther. I'm strengthening you to stand. I mean, cross bearing is not easy or painless. Did you expect this morning or tonight? Did you expect and anticipate affluence and not affliction? Did you anticipate a life of leisure and pleasure? A life of good health and great wealth? To be blessed and not to be stressed? Oh, friend, Jesus did not promise skies always blue, astral flowers strewn, pathways all your life through, a sun without rain, joy without sorrow, a peace without pain. Wherever did you get such a fanciful idea? And Jesus didn't give it to you. I tell you what he promised. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. That's what Jesus said. But that ain't the end of the verse, Brother Scott. He said, but be of good cheer. Woo! For I have overcome the world. Oh yes, you're going to be stressed. But while we're blessed, as we're overcomers, friend, we're winners, we're conquerors, because Jesus is by our side.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus predicted tribulation, and Paul preached about tribulation. He said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now this word tribulation comes from a Latin word, and I don't know how to speak Latin. I just got a dictionary, so I don't even speak English real good. I haven't even got all of American down just yet. Amen. I'm still working on that Harrison County dialect so far. And so, but I got it mastered pretty good. Amen. That's exactly right. But Jesus promised us tribulation. And my this friend, tribulation come from a Latin word, tribulum. This was the ancient Roman method of threshing grain. And you see a cart with rolling pieces of iron. The Romans used it to pull across the grain, and it crushed the grain, and it separated the chaff from the grain. The cart that they used to go across that wheat, that was called a tribulum, and so it would beat and crush and steamroll, if you will, across that wheat and that grain, and separate the fruit, the good, the profitable, from the stem and the husk, the unprofitable and the useless. Did you know that's what tribulation does? It rolls us. It crushes us. It puts us under great pressure. It puts us under strain. But it's not sent to destroy us, but rather to separate us, to divide the wheat from the chaff, to divide the grain from the husk, to bring fruit out of our lives, to make us productive, to help us bring forth glory. Amen. To separate from us the things that hinder and offend and that destroy in our lives. God ain't looking to kill you with his tribulum. He's not looking to have my friend to flatten you out with his steamroller. The tribulation, friend, is bringing the good out of our lives and pressing out everything that God does not want us to have. Amen. 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 Tribulation is the condition of affliction and distress. It's trials, any adversity, an experience that tests one's endurance and patience and faith. It is suffering. Paul said, we, all of us, you, me, my children and yours, if we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, we're going to do so through tribulation. Now I'm going to tell you something. This ain't even in the message, but you just put this somewhere or another and think about it. Nobody ever even gets saved without going through tribulation. the steamroller of the good Holy Ghost is going to have to come through your life. And he's going to have to break some stuff up. And he's going to have to press some things. And he's going to have to separate out some things. He's going to, listen, you know what happens when that piece of grain and that stem of weed and that hull goes through this threshing process? That which is on the inside is exposed to the outside. You see the grain on the inside. The outside's broken open from that husk or that hull. And the grain within is tested. And I'm going to tell you, that's what conviction does. It breaks through the husk of this outer man. And it puts pressure slam down in on the inside. And the good Holy Ghost troubles the soul. You'll not make it into heaven, friend, except through tribulation. There'll be trouble of the soul. The good God of glory will put pressure on you. And my friend puts you to the test to bring, my friend, which is on the inside out of you.
Amen.
Amen. And then he seeks to put something on the outside in you.
Amen.
Ain't it wonderful that he does that? Well, what Jesus is not saying, he's not saying that if we don't experience trouble, we can't get to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying if we experience trouble, that we earn the right to get to heaven. Just because you had all kind of problems. Somebody said here a while back, I went to a fellow's funeral. He was a very troubled young man. He was. He's a very troubled young man. It was a sad event. He had taken his own life after years of dealing, my friend, with sin. And I'll call it as it is, with sin and drunkenness and the drugs and things, and the pastors that stood and preached and said, well, now his suffering's over. And isn't it wonderful that his suffering's done? I've got news for you, friend. Just because you suffer in life does not mean that your suffering will be over when you die. And you don't go to heaven because you had a lot of trouble on earth. There's a lot of people have trouble on earth. And when they died, their trouble just got started, good. Because they got lost. Not every beggar goes to hell or goes to heaven, and not every rich man goes to hell. That's exactly right. That's the way it turned out with Lazarus and the rich man. But the rich man didn't go to hell because he's rich. And the beggar didn't go to heaven because he's a beggar. Amen. You don't go to heaven because you got problems, friend. That's not at all what Paul's saying here. He's not saying you go to heaven because you've been through a lot of trouble. What Jesus and Paul are saying is just because we are the children of God, we are not exempt from tribulations, which are the common experience of mankind. Just because you're saved, your trouble ain't going away. Matter of fact, it might even get worse. Amen. Oh, that's right. They are saying that tribulation is normal. They are saying that God does not shield us from the effects of having a fallen nature and from living in a sinful environment. They are not saying, my friend, that our trouble will take us to heaven, but they are telling us that we will experience temptations, troubles, trials and tribulations as we journey on our pathway through earthly kingdoms on our way to His heavenly kingdom. Therefore, expect tribulation. Expect the tribulant to run over your life. Expect on encountering these things. However, having been warned, persevere through them, and knowing, yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And when the devil says, you must not be right with God or you wouldn't have all the trouble you got, you remind him that he ain't never been scripturally sound. And that he's a liar and the father of it. And his doctrine's a fib, and it's sent to do nothing but cause you to stumble. And I don't care if Bishop Eddie Long preaches it or not. Hey, man, that's right. He's a crook anyhow. Amen, that's right. I'm going to list about 15, 20 others. Matter of fact, I probably could tell you more than what you'd want to listen to. That's exactly right. Amen. The smiley boy in California and all the rest of them wants to tell you about your best life. Now, I got news for you. Your best life ain't going to be now. Your best life's going to be hereafter. Amen. Your best life is not going to even be in this world. It's going to be when this world is over with. Amen. When God says it's over, that's when you're going to have your best life. You know who's having their best life now? People
that's lost. They're having their best life now because it ain't getting no better than what it is. Amen. Because when they're dead, it's just going to get worse. He said to the Pharisees, they have their reward. Now, sinner, my friend, that prideful crowd, they have their reward. They're not going to heaven. They're lost. They're undone. It's as good as it's going to get.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my. No wonder you're in such a mess, been listening to all that mess on the TV. All them fellas, they wouldn't know God in a one man line up with a name tag on. Amen. That's exactly right. Joyce Myers and all the rest of them men on TV. Yeah, amen. That's exactly right. Oh, God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on a nation that calls that religion and calls it Christianity and calls that mess preaching. That's not within a million miles of that. And while they promised prosperity, Jesus promised persecution. While they promised, my friend, always being blessed, Jesus promised being stressed but still blessed.
That man over there in Matthew chapter 5 and them Beatitudes is stressed. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's in tribulation, he's in persecution. Isn't that right? He's poor in spirit. He's meek. Isn't that right? I mean, all the things we learned this morning in Sunday school, he's all of those things. I mean, friend, he's on the bottom. He's a nobody. Seems like you're getting beat up on every side. But yet in every verse it says he's blessed. He's blessed. He's blessed. He's blessed. Somebody said ever since I got saved, I haven't had nothing but problems. Wow, that's not salvation. A saved man don't have just problems. A saved man has problems, but he don't have nothing but problems. I mean, a saved man has problems, but he's got Jesus. A saved man has problems, but he's got a Savior. A saved man has problems, but he's got the Spirit of God living within him. A saved man is stressed, but he is still blessed. A saved man's in trouble, but he's got the Holy Ghost with him every step of the way.
Amen.
A saved man goes through valleys, but he don't go through without a shepherd.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Oh, blessed but stressed, stressed but blessed.
Amen. I'm glad to be a member of the blessed stressed. Amen.
And so I want to finish these things. Let me give you four things here tonight about this tribulation. First of all, notice the purpose of tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Yet the purpose of the divine tribulation that's working, my friend, in us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The purpose of divine testing is to sanctify and to strengthen. And the purpose of satanic tempting is to deceive and to destroy. Jesus said the thief cometh but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Our troubles do not make a man frail. Have they show us what sort of man that he is? When we experience tribulation, we often think of ourselves as being torn to pieces under the cruel torture and pressures of adverse circumstance. But, my friend, the yoke of the divine thresher has never come upon us of the purpose of tearing up the sheaves, but to salvage the grain. Oh, my friend, trials are sent by God to remove the chaff in our lives and to make us fierce and faithful and fruitful in our service unto Him. So our sweet Lord never puts us under the press and the stress of adversity needlessly. Oh, but the tribulations that grind down the sinner are served to build up the saint and to strengthen us. Our trials come both to prove us and to improve us. And so I believe it was Lester Roloff said, when you face the valley, don't fear it, farm it. Amen. And there's growth, there's strength, there's nutrients, there's productivity in your valley. Don't be afraid. The shepherd's been that way before many times.
this you're in. How many times he knows the steps you take. He knows where you are. Don't be afraid to follow him. He'll not lead you wrong.
Amen. The purpose of tribulation. And then secondly, I want you to notice and make note of the prophet from tribulations. That's not the prophet as in the preacher, but the P-R-O-F-I-T, prophet from tribulations. Amen. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 67 through 71 are precious verses as it pertains to tribulation and suffering. And you ought to go there and spend some time. But I want to share two of those verses. At verse 67 of Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray. How many could say that's absolutely right? In my life, before I was afflicted, before the Lord dealt with my life, I went astray. But then he said, oh, but now have I kept thy word. At verse 71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Somebody said, the Lord ain't doing me right. The psalmist said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I tell you, God ain't trying to kill you. He's trying to teach you. He's trying to show you how to live for him. He's trying to direct you in the right path. There is profit to be had from your tribulation. Amen. Romans chapter 5, and I'm trying to preach fast as I can, and I'm slam wore out. I don't know about you. I about got wore out this morning not even preaching. Amen.
What a meeting. Thank God for visiting with us. I told Brother John he did about as good teaching Sunday school as I did preaching this morning. Both of you. Those of you that's here knows that both of us didn't even really do neither one, but just kind of handed the ball back and forth to one another, and neither one of us wanted to decide to run with it. Amen. That's exactly right. But I appreciate the way the Lord moves. I know Romans chapter 5 verse number 3 starts this way. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is set abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Profit and production come from tribulations in the believer's life. And God's trying to bring love and patience and grace out of our lives. He's trying to point us towards himself. He's teaching us through the experiences of hardship that we face.
Amen. Purpose of tribulation, the profit of tribulation. And then thirdly, I told you I'd give you four things in a hurry and I'd quit. Thirdly, our partners in tribulation. Did you know you don't face trouble alone? You ever been about like Elijah was when he went out and sat down up under a juniper tree and said, Lord, it's better for me to die than it is for me to live. I'm the only one that you got that's serving you. I'm the only one that's really worth serving you. Matter of fact, all the rest of them, you know what they've done? They've done went and followed Ahab and Jezebel. And I'm the best and you got. And then the Lord comes to him and says, what doest thou here? And he said, what do you mean asking me a question like that? Don't you know what everybody else has done? Why don't you go bother them, in other words? Why you keep bothering me? I mean, I'm the only one that's been doing right. I'm the best and you got. Why have I got all of these troubles? You ever been there? You thought you were the only one ever going through what she was going through. You had problems the likes of which nobody else had ever known. I mean, ain't nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Ain't nobody knows my sorrow. Oh, my family, while you're singing them old sad songs, while you're singing the blues instead of shouting the blessings, us, Sir Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, good men must never expect to escape trouble. If they do, they will be disappointed, for none of their predecessors have been without it. Amen. Listen to our partner, Paul. When he talked in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always a bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul was our partner in it. Our partner John called him
himself. In Revelation 1 and 9, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. How did you know our Jesus? That Jesus is our partner in the tribulation. And the Bible said of him in Hebrews 5 and 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things of which he suffered. When we're experiencing tribulation, just know you're in good company. Amen. Everybody's got problems. Everybody faces tribulation. Everybody's got trouble, friend. And when you think you're the only one, I know it is not so.
Amen.
Not only are you not the only one going through trials, you're not the only one going through your trial. Did you know most of the time when you're going through a trial, everybody you love is going through it with you? Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
They've cut Brother Bob in every direction the last year and a half. And some of you has felt sorry for Brother Bob. I've been feeling sorry for Miss Patricia. Amen. That's exactly right. Ooh, I'm telling you, that little man can get some big mean in him. That's right. And the only thought, matter of fact, friend, the only good thing she had going for was with this last round, she could twist his arm and get him to do about anything. Amen. That's exactly right. And I encouraged her to do the same if she needed to get cooperation from him after they had that rotator cuff fixed. I'd tell her, just twist his arm if he won't listen to you now, sister. And so she knew she had the upper hand on him, because all she had to do was hold his hand and pull it just right. And it'd do just about anything. But my friend, hey, when you go through trials like that, everybody you love goes through it with you. Hey, I've been in both places. I've been the one in the hospital bed. I've been the one sitting in the chair beside the hospital bed. It's easier to be in the bed than it is to be in the chair. It's easier, friend, sometimes to be the one directly affected than what it is to be the one who has to be a part of the supporting cast. I mean, think about Job's wife. We preach about how Job lost it all. And Job's wife didn't get sick, best we can tell. Job's wife didn't have boils from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. But Job's wife lost all of her cattle. She lost all of her oxen. She lost all of her sheep. She lost all of her livestock. She lost all of her wealth. She lost all of her servants. She buried all of her children just like Job did. And she washed her sweetheart's balls. She put medicine on his sores. She prayed for him as he went down to a sack of bones. Did you know you're not going through your trial by yourself, friend? Somebody said, nobody cares. Nobody loves me. I've got news for you. Jesus cares. You're not going through your trials by yourself. You're not walking your way alone. There's a great big God in heaven that cares. I'm going to tell you, there's a church that cares. And there's a preacher that cares. And there's folks that loves you that cares. And you're not going through your trial and your tribulation all by yourself.
Thank God.
Amen. And others have been that way before. And by the way, every one of them who served the Lord got victory without exception. Hey. Somebody said, why does God not heal everybody? What are you talking about? Why does God not heal everybody? God does heal everybody. He just don't heal everybody right now. Amen. My granddaddy said, not only does it heal everybody, when he gets done healing this body, and this body gets so tired, wore out, and sick, that it ain't worth dealing with no more, he tosses it aside and gives us a new body that'll never get sick again.
and everybody gets healed. Sometimes you got to cross Jordan River to get there. Sometimes, my friend, you got to leave this world to get there. But everybody that serves Jesus is going to get healed. Woo! Hallelujah to His name. There ain't nobody in heaven riding around in wheelchairs. Nobody in heaven on crutches. Nobody in heaven in a hospital bed. And it might not be in this world, but thank God others have come through problems similar to yours. Even Jesus Himself was tempted in all ways like as we are. He's come through it. The others have come through it. They're partners with us, and everyone without exception have been overcomers.
Amen. And we're going to win too.
Amen.
No, we're not without stress. About half the time I'm out of my mind. Amen. That's exactly right. Have to drink 3 cups of coffee just to calm down. I mean, about half the time bug-eyed, I'm telling you. That's exactly right. Within a half inch of snapping. But somehow or another, the Lord always keeps me on this side of the line. Amen. And one of these days, I'm going to cross over on the other side. And I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus. When troubles and trials are over, I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus. And I'm going to rest a little while. Oh, I bless His name. Yes, this world full of trouble. This is a sin-cursed planet. Somebody said, save the planet. Save the planet. I got news for you. You can do all you want, friend. You ain't saving this place. It's sin-cursed. It's condemned. God's going to burn it up one of these days. But He'll give us a new heaven and a new earth. And former things will be passed away. Woo! And in that place there'll be neither death nor crying nor sorrow, and every tear will be passed away. Oh, what a blessed day that's going to be.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Make me want to jump about 18 inches high and run a country mile and sing hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Partners in tribulation. And then I'm closing with this. There's a promise in tribulation. The Lord promised us. And you can take His promises to the bank. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Woo! When the doctor says it'll be 8 weeks of chemotherapy, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. Oh, my. When the funeral director says, I'll do the best I can to make him look natural, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. When you go home all by yourself, and my friend, the one that said that they loved you, has left home, and they said, I don't care no more, and I don't love you anymore, and I'll not be married to you anymore. There's one that said, I'll not leave you comfortless. When the church says, preacher, we won't take that kind of preaching no longer. Get out of here and don't come back. I'm glad you can find your place in an altar prayer, and God says, son, you're doing just right. Just go preach again. Amen. You know why I'm preaching tonight, don't you? I've already been down some said we don't want to hear you no more. Some said don't come back. Some said we don't love you no more, preacher. But Jesus said just preach on. Hey, and I'm trying to preach on tonight. I'm telling you, we got a promise. He'll not leave us comfortless. When the sheriff says, I'm sorry, you got to go. You can't stay in this house no more. There's one that says, I'll come unto you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you're so sick, you can't go to church no longer. And you can't get out and take care of yourself.
and gray hairs has filled your head, and sickness has come in your life, and disability has taken away your strength. And the family and friends sometimes forget to come see you with their busy lives. And you say, I'm all by myself, and nobody knows where I am or cares. There's one that says, I will come unto you. Woo! Oh, bless His name. When the devil says, God don't care, and Jesus is not coming back, and look at the mess the world's in, and look at politics in Washington, and the United Nations in the sea, across the land, the militant feminism, and the militant gays, and my friend, those that would attack the church, and the family, there's a Savior that says, I will come unto you, and behold, I come quickly. We've got a promise in tribulation, friend. The Lord's not forgotten about you. You're on the forefront of His mind. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with our grief. I tell you, He's a friend unto us.
Amen.
Oh my, I gotta quit preaching. But I gotta tell you this before I do. 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm about 3/4 intoxicated on the good Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Did you know that's what He was? You say, I got problems. He's a comforting God. Yeah, I've got problems. He's a comforting spirit. I've got troubles. He'll bring peace in your life. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In case you didn't chase that all the way around, the Lord comforts us. And when we run into other people that's in trouble, we comfort others. But the same comfort the Lord comforted us. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to comfort you tonight. But the same comfort God comforted me with.
Amen.
Amen. F.B. Meyer said of tribulations, if we are thrust in the fiery furnace, we shall find the Son of God walking at our side. Jesus is a leader of a long procession of martyrs and sufferers. He leads through no darker rooms than He's went through before. He knows exactly how much we can bear, and He'll not test us beyond our strength. He's with us and will help us to learn obedience, faith, and hope as we follow in His footsteps. We have a promise in tribulation. I'm finished preaching. Come on, the song. It is the way of the cross that leads unto the wearing of the crown.
Amen.
It's the way of the cross that leads unto the wearing of the crown. I thank God that though I'm stressed, I'm still blessed. Like Gideon and his 300 judges in Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, I'm faint, yet still pursuing. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood.
Amen.
God leads His dear children along. Don't let your tribulation destroy you. Yield to the purpose of God in it. And let Him bring forth grain, fruit, production, purpose, promise in your life. Don't be broken because you're stressed. Realize you're still blessed in the middle of your persecution and your tribulation. Stand to your feet. If you need to pray, would you come tonight? I've given you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I don't know where you are or what you need. I don't know what situation your life's in, but I've tried to be perfectly obedient to the Lord tonight. I'd ask you to search your heart this evening. See if you need to do business with God.
you need to pray when you come.
Tonight, done with the good Holy Ghost have you to do in this meeting. Paul exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. When you ask this week, why me, Lord? Remember that He told you it's going to be that way. And that you're still blessed. In spite of it all. Well, ain't it been a blessing today to be in the house of the Lord? Thank God. I feel like I've preached 2 or 3 times today. It's been a blessing. Ain't it been wonderful? Thank God for His sweet spirit. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we part tonight.